Please pray with me. Dearest God and Father, you sent Jesus into the world as the promised Messiah, the promised Savior King, to rule not on earth with power and might, but to rule over sin and death, and to rule in our hearts with your love by forgiving us. I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for God, you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. These words of Colossians: "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And from the gospel lesson, there was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." So my goal this morning is desperately to want each one of us to say, before we leave here this morning, "Jesus, I want you to be king of my heart." We all said the words, "Thy kingdom come," thousands of times. It's sort of part of the Lord's Prayer. We sort of rattle the words off. But the words mean that I want the kingdom of God to come to me. Thy kingdom come to me. I want you to rule and reign in my life and rule and reign in my heart. I want to be a part of your kingdom. But the other thing is, thy kingdom come to the world around me. I want Jesus to be seen as the Messiah, the Savior, King that he is. I want the rule of his love and forgiveness and the story of grace to be communicated to the entire world. I want God's kingdom to come to every human being. I want them to be with me in heaven. And this idea of king began in the Old Testament a long time ago when Jacob blesses his sons, and you read in Genesis 49 that when he said to his son, "You lost it, I lost it, she lost it." He said to Judah, his son, "Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations will be his." Foretelling of Jesus, who will come and take the reins of the rulership, the scepter, and rule forever. Well, that story goes on when they get to the promised land. Remember, they have had God who has led them, and he's led them through the parted sea and through the desert, provided food, and God's been an incredible leader. And they get to the promised land, and they say, "Hey, we want a king just like all the other nations around us." And God's like, "You already got one." And they say, no, we want another king. And God says, "If you want a king like the other nations, then he will take your daughters to serve him. He'll take your sons to go off to war. And he'll sort of take your money in forms of taxes to serve him." They still say they want a king, and they get a king. They pick the biggest, tallest, strongest, best looking guy they can find. They pick Saul, who's not necessarily in his heart a guy who will lead as a representative of God to the people. There's this little kid out tending the sheep. And Samuel goes to him, the youngest of his brothers. Nobody would pick this kid, but there he is, and he picks him and says, "I'm anointing you to be the next king." And sort of as a prefiguring story of Jesus, he sort of doesn't want to be king. He honors God. He has a sense of worship and a relationship with God as he writes psalms and hymns. And he has a sense of a relationship to God as the promised king and the covenant of the people of God. He doesn't want to take over for Saul because he says, "Saul is God's anointed king, so I don't want to take his place." And it's to David, then, that the promise is made. "David, you will have a dynasty that lasts forever. One of your descendants will rule on the throne of my people forever." And the idea of a king is now connected in the minds of the Israelites. The glory days of God's people is when King David is king, conquer all the nations around, and then Solomon in all his glory builds the temple. This is the highlight of the kingdom of God on earth, the people who follow God. But you hear the stories in the prophets, the Old Testament. They didn't follow that. Kings didn't worship and serve. At one point, they're doing the rituals in the temple, but there's no heart to it. There's no love for God. God is not the king of their hearts. He's just the king of the building and the ritual and so the religiosity of it all. And he says, "This is not good. This is not what I want. I don't even want your sacrifices. It's just a show. It's not about your heart." And so the Assyrians come, take the 10 northern tribes. Finally, the Babylonians come and wipe out the city of Jerusalem and knock over the temple. And it's then as they're exiles far away in Babylon that they have this sense of maybe there's an opportunity for us to return to the glory days. And this idea of the messianic hope of a king that would come and now rebuild and restore the kingdom of God became central to their hopes as the people of God. When he comes, when the Messiah comes, he's going to restore the glory days like King David. It's in these hopes for a king that the people of God understood there were good, there were bad kings. And the story of these glory days is actually an incredible king's story. It's a story of a kingdom of God and of a king that's literally woven through the entire Bible story that gets us to Jesus. But the real question of the day is not just the history of the king's story, but how does the king's story impact you and me? And the question is, who rules your kingdom? There's a new king that has risen and sits on the throne of our hearts. In Colossians, Paul says, this is the dominion of darkness, where sin rules and I can't see in the dark, where I follow blindly what I don't know and understand. The darkness that's clouded by addictions, the darkness that leaves our heart in knots, jealousy, envy, betrayal. A darkness that leaves us alone. And we feel those times in life when the darkness feels like it's closing in. So what darkness do you sense is closing in on your life on your heart? What robs you of joy? Where do you sense that God is working to try and overcome temptation, but you find it still knocks on the door? Most of us are ruled by fear. Afraid I won't be loved. Afraid I won't make the grades or get into the right school or get a good job or have a good life. More than ever, I think we're ruled sometimes by our pains. I know for me, there's a 9-year-old kid inside of me whose dad died 50 years ago, and that still sort of shapes who I am. There are those pains of life that shape the way you perceive people and life and yourself. And honestly, I find different things ruling my heart at different times and different days. And so that's why this relationship with God is a constant battle. A constant prayerful relationship to work and struggle to keep Jesus as the King of my heart. When the darkness of the dominion of darkness takes over our life, it's not necessarily that these things of success and life are awful and terrible. Some of those are okay, but when they begin to rule our life and impact our decisions, and the sense of the sin sort of takes hold or grip of parts of our life, or some temptation seems to have a hook in our soul, we begin to lose this thing, this home. Part of Thanksgiving for me, it's my favorite times of the year because for 20-some years we've gotten together with our best friends. And so it's like, for me, the best time of the year. We are all home. All the kids are together. And I don't know about you, but for me, that dinner table is, I mean, families have their challenges, I know, but the dinner table, and you're all sitting there and looking around and telling stories, and that's like a little bit of heaven. We gather in church. There's this communion meal. It's like a little bit of heaven. You feel home. You feel safe. It's that place. It's home. But when the dominion of darkness and sin starts to rule in our hearts, we find ourselves robbed of these things, of love and joy and peace and hope. Those classic Advent words. So in the season of Advent, we find that Jesus says he's coming. And the story of the birth of Jesus is that the Savior's coming and the hope of the world is coming. And they have that anticipation. One day the King, the great Savior King, was coming back. And we get to celebrate that King actually is Jesus. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, and then he walks into the city of Jerusalem and they're throwing palm branches down and they say, Hosanna to the King. They believe the glory days of God are coming back, that the kingdom of God is going to be established. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand, but it's not at all like we expected. It's a bit backwards. Because Jesus is his best as a king in the most unlikely of places. When he's hanging on the cross and he is mocked and cursed and abandoned by friends and misunderstood by the religious leaders, they don't get who he is. He's looking weak, looking much less like a king than we ever imagined him to be, tortured, beaten by Roman soldiers, and hanging on a cross crucified. This is not the picture of a king anybody expects. But it's precisely the place where Jesus comes to do his mission, his purpose, this idea of being the one who brings forgiveness of sins into the world, to rule our hearts and free them from sin and free us from the fear of death. That's the moment when Jesus says, I am ruling as king. And when the thief says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today we kind of join that thief. Jesus, man, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's kind of fascinating to me that they wrote above his head, this is the King of the Jews. And they wrote it to mock him, to make fun. The purple robe, the crown of thorns. The Romans thought, here's this wimpy king, so much of a king of the Jews, we'll show you who's really king. It's Caesar. But we know that it's in that moment that Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And he says to us the very same words. Look, you will be with me in paradise. Your sins are taken away. Death is not the end. There is a life. There is a life that comes again. There is a resurrection. The King Jesus who rose again says, the promise of heaven is not a dream. It's a promised hope. It's a reality that will be yours. Our futures are guaranteed. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. I know where I'm headed. I know the God who loves me. I know in the midst of my messed up other things becoming king in my life, the King of the universe says he loves me and he will forgive me, and Jesus is the proof. So don't be afraid. So when Jesus actually is ruling your life, what's it look like? When you face pains, understanding that Jesus knows pain. When you face the greatest challenges of your life, you understand you have a Jesus who's walked here and understands exactly what it feels like to be human and walk through these painful, challenging, difficult times. And he says, I'm with you. We have a confidence knowing that our future's guaranteed and nothing can shake us. Nothing can stop the future from coming, this future of being with God. And we know that we are loved and we are forgiven, so we can be loving and forgiving in the world because I get the love of God, I get what Jesus did, I get my future, I get that I'm the beloved, forgiven child of God, and I then get to love and forgive. And Jesus came to find those who were lost and broken, who felt as if the dominion of darkness had taken over their life and there was no hope. And they were the outcasts. Jesus found them and he rescued them. He found you and he rescued you and me. And Jesus spoke truth. So it's okay when we speak the truth into the world around us. And Jesus obeyed his Father, even to the point of death on a cross. So there's a passion inside of us in the kingdom of God to obey God, to hear what he says and do it because we trust him. No matter where that takes us, we do it because we're in the kingdom of God, trusting that the King will not lead us astray. And Jesus prayed. He took time aside to spend time in his relationship with God, and he took time away to rest. So in the kingdom of God, there's moments in our life of prayer. There's time in our life of rest with God. And Jesus didn't worry about stuff. He didn't have any. He didn't care about the stuff. It wasn't about accumulating stuff or having stuff or building stuff or making stuff. It wasn't about stuff. And he didn't try to rule people with power and authority. And when you listen to that lesson of the Colossians, it says, this is the Jesus who came, who's all authority, all power. Read the words. This is the Son of God who came to earth, who had every right to claim his lordship as the king and make us all bow down and cower before him. He had all the power at his disposal. He didn't use it. It wasn't his purpose. It wasn't the way that God rules life. He doesn't rule life by power and authority, making us bow down and submit. He comes to serve us. He comes to love us. He comes to give us a guaranteed future. He comes to free us from sin and guilt and shame. And Jesus took on the self-righteous and the arrogant. So in the kingdom of God, we take on the self-righteous and the arrogant. We stand up against injustice like he did in the world where he lived. And Jesus spent time with his close friends, his disciples, to make sure they understood the love of God and they shared this fellowship. He said the night before he died, I want to show you the full extent of my love. So there are moments in life when we share relationships and fun and conversation with the people closest to us. So I don't know about you, but I'm still trying to find a way in my heart that my life would reflect that I know who the King is. That my heart would reflect this incredibly grace-filled, forgiven heart loved by God. And that becomes the overflow into the world around me. So here's the deal. Wherever you go, the crazy thing is, it's not just a story about the King and the kingdom. It's not only a story about Jesus, but Jesus says, I'm here in communion. He says, don't you know the kingdom of God is within you? You bear the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I am ruling and reigning in you. And when you love, and when you live inside the kingdom of God, that love and forgiveness that's been given to you will overflow to the world around you. And they will see God at work. And they'll see there's something about this place and those people and the way that they love each other. It's kind of God-like. God must be ruling there because grace and forgiveness is abounding there. Whenever you say the words, thy kingdom come, remember this moment. So you'll never be able to say the words again, just bye-bye, thy kingdom come. No, it's, God, I want your kingdom to rule in my heart. The Advent season we're going to talk about, what are you looking for? Looking for peace, looking for hope, looking for a change, looking for something new, looking for hope, looking for God to show up. When you go to work, you bring the kingdom of God with you. When you go home in the house, you're bringing the kingdom of God there. When you talk to friends, you're bringing the kingdom of God there because you bear the love and forgiveness of God. You represent as an ambassador of the king who's taken over your heart. So if there's anything inside of your heart today that is in this dominion of darkness, then confess it and leave it here. If there's some part of your heart that is serving a different king and your heart is captivated by some temptation or sin, then pull it into the light. If you have to tell somebody, this is the part of my heart that I'm most struggling with the dominion of darkness in my life. And it may be different at different times, but bring it into the light. Have other friends stand with you and do battle against it so that none of those sins so rob your heart and rule your heart that they ruin your life. And suck the joy and the peace and the love and the hope out of your heart. Because Jesus is the King. Jesus is the promised Savior, Messiah, King. And he says, I came to die for you. I came to set you free of fear. I came to be with you in the midst of your pain and sadness. I came to remind you in the depths of your heart and soul, you are beloved and precious children of God, destined for heaven. The challenge of us every day is to bring this promised future kingdom of God into the world today, that this becomes a little piece of heaven on earth, that what we know is going to happen, we bring down, and we have the sense, this is where God's love happens. This is where the people of God worship him and serve him. This is where the heart of God is lived out and seen and manifest in this thing called the church. And in each one of you, and in me. I'll end where I started. My desperate prayer again today is before you leave, you say to yourself, Jesus, I want you to rule my heart. Amen? Will you stand with me, please?